Let me explain how I came to want to deliver this discourse. A friend in America gave me a link to a Reformed site, an internet link to this Reformed site, a site that promulgates the Puritan system, the Puritan doctrine. It's a very firm advocate of Puritanism, and it puts forward this Reformed doctrine. Now, the man I saw on this video link was putting forward, supporting, reviewing, enforcing, applying in a very vehement way, a very strong dogmatic way, was applying the thesis of a book that he wanted to advance and spread and cause to be read and used and so on. And I won't give the title of this book. This is unusual for me. I usually do name my sources, but I don't want to give this any oxygen. I will simply say this. The advocate of this book was taking up its title and its doctrine and pressing it very hard upon those of us who were prepared to listen. And the burden of this book and this video clip was this, that the disaster that has come upon the world as a result of the COVID infection is a direct result of the curse that Christ is imposing because of the way the churches, evangelical churches, have broken the covenant. And Christ is cursing covenant breakers. Christ, by the COVID, is cursing covenant breakers, inflicting this disease and its consequences upon men because of their breaking of the covenant. Now, I'm not going to give you my text for this discourse. I'll come to the discourse in a few minutes, but I want to lead up to it and explain about what is going on here. I feel very, very strongly about this. I hope it comes over in my voice. I hope it comes over in my words. If you could see me, I hope it would come over in my body language. I feel very passionate about this, vehement about this. It is utterly wrong, appalling. And I want to do what I can to put a stop to it and argue what I see as the biblical case. Let me explain. It's no accident that this comes from a Reformed, Puritanical website. That school, that stable, will produce this kind of work. Why? Because of its theology. Let's be clear about it. This man didn't want to mince any words. The book didn't mince any words, apparently. And I certainly don't want to be misunderstood. It is the theology behind this, which is so appalling and leads to this dreadful state of affairs. What do I mean? When we're talking about covenant theology, the Bible shows us that God deals with men through covenants. I've written about it, redemption history through covenants. It's pretty clear in the Bible. And there are some major covenants. Two in particular are concern us here. One is the Mosaic covenant, the old covenant, which was given to Israel at Sinai. And the second covenant is called the new covenant. It is the covenant inaugurated by Christ in his incarnation, his life, his death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension, and the outpouring of his Spirit at Pentecost. In the Last Supper, Christ said, this is the feast, this is the remembrance of the new covenant. The blood is the blood of the new covenant, which he has established. Now, the theology behind this website is covenant theology, is Reformed theology. It's this covenant theology mangles and mixes the two covenants in question, the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, and the New Covenant that Christ introduced. Now, what does covenant theology say? That these two covenants are really one covenant. There's some differences, there's differences of administration, but they're essentially one covenant. And they call it the covenant of grace or something like that. Now, this is their theology. Therefore, what they find written in the Old Covenant applies to the New Covenant. What applied to Israel applies to the Church, the Ecclesia. Now, there's nothing new about this. I'm delivering this discourse in July 2021. But Calvin, although he was not a covenant theologian, strictly speaking, because covenant theology proper was invented in the later part of the 16th century after Calvin, nevertheless, he believed in the administration idea that the Old and New Covenant are really one and the same covenant, with just two administrations of it. Aquinas believed the same, and so on. And it comes from the medieval Roman Church. It comes through Calvin. It came to the Puritans. It was set in the Westminster Confession of Faith. And it's descended to this very day. You can see, 2021, this website is producing this doctrine, this principle that Christ is cursing covenant breakers. And what they mean is this covenant of grace. And Christ is cursing covenant breakers by the COVID infection. So the theology behind it is covenant theology. Now that covenant theology is utterly flawed and completely unscriptural. Oh, there is a measure of continuity between the two covenants. That is true. The major continuity is Christ himself. He is pictured in the Old Covenant, illustrated, shadowed. This is the New Testament word for it. He is in silhouette there. That's another New Testament word for it. He's there in sketch. That's another New Testament word. He's there in type, as I say, shadow. The reality of Christ, though, is found fully in the New Covenant. And the New Covenant Christ has introduced has superseded the Old. The shadow, the illustration, the sketch, the silhouette has given way to the reality, Christ himself. That is what the Bible says. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, the law was a temporary covenant added until the new covenant. The book of Hebrews. Chapter 8, verse 13, for example. Chapter 7 will tell you the same. And chapter 9 will go on to argue it out. And all these chapters, all the entire book of Hebrews. Hebrews 8, 13. Christ has rendered, by bringing in the new covenant, by fulfilling the old, Matthew 5, 17 to 21, Christ has rendered obsolete the old covenant. Oh, the old covenant uses the new. It picks up these shadows and illustrations and applies them to Christ in a new covenant way. Now, new covenant theology says this, but old covenant theology, the covenant theology of the Puritans and Westminster Confession, what does that say? That the two covenants are one and the same. There are different administrations of that one covenant. And as I say, the Old Covenant is applied directly into the New. upon the ecclesia. The fathers did it. They went back to the old covenant and introduced priestcraft. They introduced infant baptism. They introduced sacramentalism. They introduced sacerdotalism, priestcraft on behalf of believers. They introduced all these elements from the old covenant. Circumcision became baptism, therefore infants, male infants, circumcised in the old covenant were led to the baptism of infants. So the fathers introduced clericalism, pastorism, priestcraft, bishopism, episcopalianism, you might call it, yes. It introduced state churches, and it introduced sacerdotalism and sacramentalism. Quite a list. Quite a list. That's been around for 1800 years, Christendom. And we're suffering from it today. Now, I've written at large on this, and I've spoken about it at large. You can see my books. I've written about all these issues. They're so important. They're all corruptions. And they're all based on this wrong-headed notion that the Bible is a flat book, and that which is said to Israel is said to the church. And that is the theology behind this Christ cursing through COVID. It's based on Leviticus 26. Well, certainly. Certainly it's true. In the Old Covenant, Israel had laid before it Leviticus 26 and many other places. If Israel would keep the covenant, the law that God gave to Israel on Mount Sinai, not just the Ten Commandments, but the entire system, then they would get material benefit and blessing. Health, happiness, long life, prosperity, success in war, etc., etc., etc. But if they broke the covenant, if they failed to keep the covenant, if they transgressed the covenant, then God would visit them with curses. And you know the history of Israel. Joshua saw it coming. He knew, as he got to the end of his life, Joshua 24, that the time would come when they would forsake God. Indeed, they were already doing it. Indeed, they did it at Sinai itself. They went back to Egypt even there and made a god for themselves while Moses was receiving the law. And that's why he broke the commandments when he came down, the tablets when he came down from the mount, to bring home this point to Israel. You see, the covenant breakers did bring upon them the curse of God. And prophet after prophet, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the minor prophets, you will see them all addressing this issue, calling Israel back again and again and again. And what happened? Israel in the north and Judah in the south, in their turn, sinned so badly that time and again God judged them, and eventually Israel in the north was taken into Assyria, and Judah in the south was carted into Babylon. And you get a handful of prophets at the end who are raised up, and Nehemiah and Ezra raised up to deal with the return after captivity. But it was in a poor state after their return from captivity. Israel never did recover. Now, all that is clear in the Bible. Of course, the prosperity gospelers take those old covenant promises and curses, especially the promises, and they apply them to believers today. If you please God, then you will be successful in your work, you'll be healthy, you'll have a happy life, you'll be making money, and all the rest of it. And now this latest website that I'm dealing with has brought home the other side, and quite unashamedly, because the church has forsaken God in his word, therefore Christ is cursing the world through COVID. He is cursing covenant breakers, Leviticus 26. Now, the theology is harebrained, and the consequences, as with infant baptism, as with priestcraft, as with clericalism, as with sacerdotalism, and all the other things I've mentioned. This is a disaster of the First Order. And that's why I raised my voice against it. It's not the main reason, but I'm trying to clear the ground. This is the truth of it. Their theology is in a dreadful state. And because of that, they brought this terrible thought and preached it. And I want to do what I can to put a stop to it. Now, that's not the only reason. The Calvin, the Puritans, the Reformers, they brought in, they mangled the covenant, and it's still with us today. Therefore, we have to get our theology right. But I'm not doing this discourse merely as a matter of theology and trying to, like a theological chess game, and try and move theological pieces on a chessboard, square for square. I'm taking this issue up because it's a pastoral concern. What am I saying? You see, this doctrine is not only theologically harebrained. It's not only a theological catastrophe. It is cruel. Cruel spiritually. Here are people afflicted. Some are dying. Many are dying. In pain and agony and loss and all the rest of it from COVID. And what do they hear? This is a curse of Christ upon them. Because they're covenant breakers. Because they're covenant breakers. Because they've broken the covenant, Christ is cursing them with COVID. How cruel is it? How cruel is this? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, above all, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling poor, dying, afflicted people that they're under the curse because they're covenant breakers. Now, I wouldn't be misunderstood. I wouldn't be misunderstood. On the basis of Genesis 3, I am fully persuaded that we, as the human race, we have fallen in Adam. And because of that, we're under the curse of God, the wrath of God. And we will all physically die. And there is eternal judgment to come for all of us because of the fall, because of our curse in Adam. Indeed, we are, John chapter 3, already under the wrath of God. So I'm not denying that. Nor am I denying that particular offenses of the body, obesity, abusing the body with drugs and so on, lifestyle. These can produce diseases. I'm not denying that. And I know in general disease comes because of the curse of the fall, Genesis 3. But that's a far, far cry from saying that people in a catastrophe are under the curse of Christ because they're covenant breakers. Train crashes. A ship sinks at sea. Some major disaster like that. Or even local disasters. Personal disasters, bereavement. To say directly, to attribute this as a curse from Christ because of COVID. And COVID is a curse from Christ because of covenant breaking is cruel in the extreme. An infant is smashed to smithereens in a car crash. Christ cursed that. No, no, you cannot say that. It is cruel. And if it comes out of this covenant theology, you can see why it's not just an academic subject. That's why it must be dealt with. Look at the millions deceived by infant baptism. Look at the millions under priestcraft and clericalism and all that that brings into the world. And now this. When's enough enough? How much more have we got to take of this? It's cruel. But it's also simplistic. What do I mean? Simplistic. Well, if you can judge God's favor, God's blessing, by the prosperity of a man, and judge his curse by his affliction, then even an infant could work out who's who, what's what. Here is somebody who is healthy, lives long, prosperous, and all the rest of it, well, obviously, God is with him. Here is somebody smashed to smithereens in a train crash, obviously, God has cursed him. A child could work it out. But my friend, providence is not like that. I'm not saying John Flavel was right, but he chose when he wrote his book, I know he was a Puritan, but he had a couple of theology, but when he wrote his book on providence, what did he call it? The mystery of providence. The mystery. Precisely. It is a great mystery. William Cowper wrote his hymn. I'm not saying it's right because Cowper wrote it, but this is what he thought. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea. You can't trace him. You can't see. Mysterious again, you see. Mysterious. That's John Flavel. That's William Cowper. But I think Joseph would agree, wouldn't he? Here he is languishing in the jail. I know we know the end of the story, but here he is languishing. All the many calamities come upon him. Well, God must be against me then. But it's not so. As he said himself at the end of the story, or some way through the story, God meant it for good. You meant it for ill, but God meant it for good. It's not a mark of curse upon me at all. Poor old Job would suffer under this cruel system, wouldn't he? He didn't understand it. It wasn't simple to him, was it? Psalm 73, the writer of Psalm 73, he didn't understand providence. He said, I don't get it, Lord. I don't understand it at all. Let me take it to the highest level. Christ, my God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I don't pretend to understand that. But I will say to you, whatever it is, it isn't simplistic. It isn't simple. But these people have got providence off to a simple start now. If a man suffers, God's against him. He's a curse. Because he's a covenant breaker. He's cursed. When I was a very young Christian, I used to go street evangelizing. And gather around me on the high street where I lived, gather around me as many, they were called teddy boys in those days, as I could get. And sometimes I would have a very large number flowing out into the street from the shop doorway on an evening. And I'd be speaking to them about Christ. And I used to wish, well, I'll tell you my silliness, but I used to wish, it passed through my mind, wouldn't it be nice if everybody who was converted went green? Then I wouldn't have to evangelize him. But, you see, that's stupid, I know. But can you see the simplistic nature of it? It's not like that, is it? But these people have reduced providence to a simplistic level. God is cursing you because you've broken the covenant. And we can see that because things have gone wrong in your life. It's not like that, my friend. So it's the theology which is wrong, it's cruel, it's simplistic, and there are many other things. But this is not my major point. I'm saying this, though, because it's not just arguing about a nicety of theology. We're dealing with real people. Isn't it dreadful that this kind of impression is given of Christ to sinners? Now I come to my text, as it were, and I begin to preach very briefly. And what is my text? My text is found in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the words of a Puritan lover, of a Reformed man who wants to talk about Christ cursing covenant breakers from Leviticus 26, misapplying the old covenant to the church. No, I'm not doing that. I will agree, by the way. Before we get to that, I will agree. I am most earnest about it. I believe myself that the churches have departed from Christ. We have gone away, not from the old covenant, but from the new. We are mangling and mixing the world with the church. And Christ, I'm sure, is angry with us. I'm prepared to say that we're under a time of judgment. But there's no direct tie-up like this with COVID. The churches need reforming, need recovering back to the new covenant. The ecclesia of the new covenant, it does. I've written about this very fully too. Now, that's not the issue. The issue is, what does the Word of God say? Now, I have the Word, not I have the Word of Christ here very clearly. And I'm basing this, I'm speaking on Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Let me read the verses to you. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now, that's a terrible thing. Pilate had come upon these Galileans. They're sacrificing. I'm not going into all that. That's not my issue. But Pilate had visited them. And what had he done? He slaughtered them and mingled their blood sacrifice with their own blood. He had killed them. He had slaughtered them. Right, says Jesus. Some of you here present, they said to Jesus right now, look at that. Jesus answered, do you think, this is what they're thinking, do you think that these Galileans were sinners, worse sinners, more sinful than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? Can you tell by their sufferings, by the cruelty that Pilate wrought upon them? Can you tell from that that I've cursed them, and I've cursed them with Pilate's slaughter? See what it amounts to? That's the parallel. Can you tell that that's what I've done? That that is the truth, that God is against them because they're covenant breakers, because they've sinned, and Pilate has visited them, and God has used Pilate to damn them in this way, to slaughter them. That's what Christ says. He raises the very issue. This is said 2,000 years ago, but it's dead relevant to that which is being published now in 2021. What's the answer? Do you think that? Now, I'm not justifying these Galileans and what they were doing. I'm not justifying their sacrifices. I'm not doing that at all. All I'm saying is there this tie-up here between Pilate's slaughter of these people, their sin, and Christ cursing through Pilate? This is what Christ says. I tell you, no. You cannot judge like that. If ever there was a text which utterly rules out that website, utterly rules out that video clip, this is it. I tell you, no. No, this is not right. Or, verse 4 of Luke 13, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? Can you work it out? People die of the COVID, therefore they're cursed under Christ because of the COVID, because of their breaking of the covenant. I tell you, no. That's why it's wrong, my friend. Their theology is wrong, it's cruel, it's simplistic, but Christ is against it. Christ is against it. Yes, men are under the wrath of God. Yes, men will have to face God in judgment. Yes, because of sin. Yes, there is sin in the world. Yes, there is disease in the world. Yes, there is corruption in the world because of sin. Yes, yes, yes. But you cannot tie it together like these people do simplistically. And you certainly can't do it on the basis of mangling the covenants old and new. Now, I haven't quoted Christ's word properly, have I? I've left out two parts. Well, it's one part really, it's repeated. This is the part. But. It's not this, but. Unless you. Now, it's not third person, you know, they, them. It's you, second person. And I'm addressing you, my friend. I'm also addressing me, myself, first person. But I'm addressing you, because Christ does. You, unless you repent, because you're a sinner, COVID or not, healthy or not, you might live to 100. You might never have a train crash or a car crash. You might never have any disappointment, whatever it might be. Oh no. But nevertheless, you too, unless you repent, unless you turn from your sin, acknowledge that you're a sinner. Unless you turn to Christ and trust Christ and believe and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and trust His blood in righteousness, not your own works. Unless you're saved, in other words, you too will perish. And not just in a train crash. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about eternal judgment, eternal condemnation, eternal death. And he says it again in verse 5. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. And that is the burden of my discourse here. It's not simply the wrong theology and the cruelty of it and the simplisticness of it. That's all part of it, yes. It's not simply this argument here. Christ repeats it, by the way, in John 9. You remember the blind man? Was this man blind because of his parents' sin? Well, because of his own sin? Neither. But this is for the glory of God. And maybe God, in the mystery of his providence, will use that link, that video, which I so was so appalled at, to stir me to make this discourse, and maybe somebody will hear this, somebody will listen to this, and be converted. My friend, the gospel is not like these people are saying. There is a condemnation because of sin, and it's upon us all. You cannot work out from providence these things so simplistically as these people argue. But I will say this, because we die, you can see, we're all dying physically, but we're all dying spiritually too. In fact, we're all dead spiritually, and we will die eternally, eternally, unless we repent and believe we shall perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But unless you repent and believe, John 3:18, the wrath of God is still upon you. John 3:36, the wrath of God abides on you still. So the burden of my discourse is not simply a theological point. It's not simply about cruelty and simplisticness. What it is about is your soul, my friend. Will you repent? Will you trust Christ? Will you call upon him? Now is the time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now, listen to Christ and hear him and respond to him, trust him and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, even you, my friend, I urge you, you will be saved. So I hope I've done something to correct that dreadful video clip that I saw. But I hope I've done more. Hope God will use this little discourse to bring poor sinners to receive the mercy of God in Christ, the love of God in Christ. May this be a wake-up call. This COVID be a wake-up call to seek the Lord now while he may be found and call upon him. Yes, the churches need to reform. I know that, and I preach it and write about it. But just at the moment I'm dealing with the individual sinner. Oh, don't perish, my friend. Repent and believe. Trust the Savior. And do it now.